Well, I welcome you again to the ABCs of Christian Growth. And today, my brothers and sisters, we'll be going back into our study of the letter Z, which is Zion, your heavenly home, your heavenly home. We've talked about quite a few things on the last recording, and I believe that was the second one. I think the last thing that we talked about was what does death mean for the Christian? Well, we discovered that the Bible teaches that we're not to fear death, that the Christian has absolutely nothing to fear when it comes to death, because death does not mean the same thing as the world has projected out there, for that you cease to exist, or you go to purgatory, or you go to soul sleep, or and other 500 Mickey Mouse things that they say that happens to you. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that to be home in the body is to be home in the body is to be absent from the Lord, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember that? So according to the Bible, we leave our body. Your soul is shaped just exactly like your body is. It's inside of your body. And your soul departs and leaves your body at the time that your body goes to sleep. And that's what the Bible says about a Christian, Christian's body when it dies. It goes back into the dirt, turns back into dust, and it sleeps until the Lord wakes it and changes it. Or the rapture happens and he changes it while we're still in it. So we don't have anything to worry about. Paul said that if he was to depart, that he would be with Christ. Now, either Paul knew what he was talking about there in Philippians, or either he didn't. And I believe he did. And I know you do also. We talked about during the tribulation time, remember the souls that were under the altar? That was under the altar, and the Lord, they asked the Lord when he was going to avenge their blood. For what they did to them down there during the tribulation period. And the Lord said they was going to have to wait for their brothers and sisters to be martyred, and then he was going to take care of business. But he said, in the meantime, here's some robes for you to wear. And he gave them robes. So we know that souls can wear robes. And like I said, your soul is shaped exactly like your body. And it's inside. That's why Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell. He knew there was some kind of difference going on, but he didn't know if he was in his actual body or whether he was out of his body. But even being out of his body, it seemed like he was in it. So we see that that draws the conclusion pretty close to your body, your soul looking just exact, or is shaped just exactly like your body inside of your body. You're back behind them eyeballs. But when that body goes back to the dirt, no matter how you departed, how death comes, you're not going to be there. And you're not going to be lingering around in that body while it's laying there dead. The Bible says you immediately depart. For instance, in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 8, remember when Rachel was giving birth to Benjamin? The Bible said that she passed away, that she died while she was giving birth to Benjamin. She called him Benoni, but her father named him Benjamin. But in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 18, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing," and then in parentheses, "for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin." Now the Bible says very clearly right there, whenever Rachel was passing away, that she was dying, that her body was dying, not her soul. She was dying. It says it came to pass as her soul was in departing. Her soul was coming out of her. She was leaving her body. It said, "For she died." For she died. So at death, when your body dies, your soul departs. It leaves. You're not even in that body. Rachel's body wasn't even taken off of the table. They were still probably trying to get Benjamin situated, and Rachel's body was laying there dead. And she was already gone. So you see, the Bible says at death we depart. We depart. You're not laying there in that body lingering around in pain and all this kind of gobbledygook they come up with in the world today and all these fantastic pictures of death and the way that people die and what happens after death and all that. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. All right, well, let's go on and move along here. And as we do, we're going to talk about another point in our study of Zion, your heavenly home. Now, let me ask you a question. What is Zion? Well, Zion is Jerusalem, right? Yes. Zion is Jerusalem. And Zion is called something else. What? The city of David. That's right. Okay. And also, Zion is also called one other name, and that is called the New Jerusalem or heaven, right? New Jerusalem or heaven. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. He said he's seen it coming down from God, from heaven. So let's move on. We're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about, will we know one another in heaven? Will we know one another in heaven? Well, let me ask you this. You think there's going to be enough people in heaven that you're probably going, out of all the people that you know, that you're going to have to learn, you're going to have to meet some new people? I would imagine. Millions and millions and thousands of thousands up there in glory giving praise to the Lord sitting on his throne in Revelation. And I imagine we're going to be meeting a whole bunch of friends, a whole bunch of brothers and sisters, and there's going to be some that we don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be wonderful, however it happens. But what does the Bible say about recognizing one another? Will we know one another? And that's something that everybody thinks, of course. I don't really think that it's going to make all that much difference whether we know anybody or not. I personally believe, that we will know people and have memory of people that we've, our brothers and sisters and that were on earth with us while we were in the body, because later on the Bible talks about that the Lord's going to wipe wipe away all memory. He's going to wipe away the memory of a lot of things, and I don't believe that's going to be knowing one another, but he's going to wipe, as far as our memory, it's not been wiped away yet. And believe we're going to, we might, I don't know. There's a lot of things having to do with going to the judgment seat, too. I wish he would wipe away that people didn't know me when I get up there and find out what I'd done while I was a Christian and things like that and be ashamed of them. But either way, that's going to happen anyway. But let's see what the Bible has to say about it. In Acts chapter 7, and verse 55 through 60, the Bible says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." We see here that the Bible declares that Stephen, when he was being stoned, he said that he recognized Jesus Christ when he looked up, and the heaven was opened, and he sees, see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Did you get that? Now, where's the soul go? Well, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But where'd his soul go? His soul went to paradise. His soul went to paradise. And where did his body go? It fell asleep because it just got stoned to death. So there we go. But will we know one another in heaven? Stephen recognized Jesus. All right, that's not all. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through 5. Let's read it. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them, Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And that's a good lesson for all of us. The Lord God the Father just gave us instruction who we're supposed to listen to and who we're not supposed to listen to. He said, This is my beloved Son. And what did Jesus say he was? He said, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we learn about Jesus and we by reading his word, and we know the Lord Jesus Christ by the indwelling of God the Holy Ghost and by the word of God is how we know. But Peter said here, and James and John went up to that mountain with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured into his glorified body, and what he would look like when he's in heaven, glorified. And he done that in front of them. And Peter got so excited, he said, Lord, let's build some tabernacles. But let's build them for one for you, and one for who? One for Moses. He named his name. One for Moses, and one for Elias, which is Elijah. And one for Elijah, Elias. And he knew them. He knew them. He recognized them. Now, I don't know where Peter probably never seen him while he was, since he was born. I imagine through reading the scriptures, he knew who they was. So there's, excuse me. So there's another, truth that we can see that, the people in the scriptures, when we get to glory, we'll all be walking along there and look over and see somebody and say, John? Peter? Stephen? Paul? Brother Paul? We'll be able to know them through knowing the scriptures, you see. And you just never know how this, but this truth right here is actually how it was. Peter had never seen Moses and Elijah except through the scriptures. James and John never seen Moses and Elijah except through the Old Testament, through the scriptures. And when they got up there on that mountain with Jesus, they knew Jesus, and he was transfigured, and then appeared Moses and Elijah. And he knew them and named them and offered to build some tabernacles for them. But the Father said, This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And that's good instruction for us and good advice for us and good truth for us. Hear ye him. How do we hear the Lord? We hear him through his word and through God the Holy Ghost that indwells us, don't we? Yes, we do. All right, that's not all. Now we're talking about, will we know one another in heaven? Luke chapter 16 and verse 23 through 25. You know what that chapter is about. This is where the rich man and the beggar, Lazarus, leave their bodies and depart from their bodies. And it says, in hell he lift up his eyes, this is the rich man, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Now see, back in the Old Testament, before the Lord was resurrected and the payment was made for sin, before sin could be taken away, people had to go to paradise. They weren't able to go all the way to heaven yet. So they were in paradise. And according to the scriptures, paradise was separated by a great gulf. Paradise was on one side and hell was on the other. But there was a great gulf in between them. And this is where they're at now. And it says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, he recognized him, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He recognized him, that he may dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, being in the body, receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So we see there three different instances in the scripture, truths in the scripture, where people recognized one another, whether they knew one another while in the body. Some of them did know one another from being in the body, and some of them didn't. Some of them knew one another according to the scriptures. Some of them had never met while they were in the body, but they knew each other according to the scriptures. And that's interesting, isn't it? So will we know one another in heaven? Well, if it goes like what, if it goes according to what we've just read, we're going to recognize people. Yes, that's what it says. It doesn't say, thou shalt recognize everybody. Thou shalt know everybody in heaven. It doesn't say that. But it gives us evidence that when we get to heaven, where these people are now, because paradise has been the Lord took led captivity. They were captive down there in not like a jail, but just captive, that they couldn't go all the way to heaven. But the Lord Jesus, when he resurrected and the payment was made and it was finished, he took all of those in paradise all the way to heaven then. And sin was taken away. It wasn't just redeemed and paid for. It was taken away completely. Okay? And that's what the Lord did with ours. Praise his name. All right? So in heaven, that's not all. Let's look at some truths that we have. So according to the Bible, and these three verses here, according to the Bible, we will know one another. We will. In some way, form, or fashion, we're going to recognize one another. And in some ways, we're going to recognize people that we've never met. And we'll see when we get there, but it's all going to be good, isn't it? But the Bible does not say thou shalt recognize everybody and thou shalt know everybody in heaven. It doesn't say that. There's probably some of us that if it did say that, then we'd probably, some people would be trying to get out of going to heaven, because they're going to have to meet up with some people that they've, some things been done down here in the body, right? Praise the Lord for forgiveness and confession, right? Yeah. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Lord said for us to forgive one another as God hath forgiven us for Christ's sake. You got somebody you need to forgive? Forgive them. And by the way, forgiving is forgetting. Yes, it is. Forgiving is forgetting Yes, it is. There ain't no way to forgive anybody unless you forget it. Forget the transgression. Forget the offense. Program your mind to put that memory away and lock it up where it never, ever, ever comes to mind again. And when it tries to stick his head out, slam the door on it. Forgiveness is forgetting. Just a little gold piece there for you. In heaven, we're all going to have glorified bodies. Glorified bodies. We're going to have bodies, and we're going to have glorified bodies. You say, well, Brother TV, where does it say that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. Listen to this. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with that body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. But bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and one glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. There aren't two stars the same, isn't that something? So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. In other words, your body goes back to the dirt and corrupts. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. Death is dishonorable no matter how you die. God hates death. That's an enemy to the Lord. It's an enemy to us. It's the last enemy to be destroyed, the Bible says. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So this new body that we're going to get is going to be indeed a body likened unto Jesus' glorious body, but it's going to be spiritual. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward with that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see the difference? The Lord made division between eternity and being natural, celestial and terrestrial, corruptible and incorruptible. He made the difference there, and he showed it to us in a body. And it told us about the seeds that you bury. They have to be dead before they can make life, before they can bring forth life. Okay, so in heaven, we're going to all have glorified bodies. You're not going to have this body with the aches and pains and the corruption and the heart problems and the kidney problems and the diseases and the cancer and the leukemia and the, all the blabbity things that just sin brings forth. Sin bringeth forth death. Death. We shall. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to receive. We'll talk more about this in another study also. But we're going to receive our new glorified bodies at the rapture, the moment when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the air and catches away the Christians, catches away the bride of Christ, takes us out of here. Now, if you've already departed from your body, you'll be with the Lord. And you will come with Him, and the Lord will raise your body out of the grave. It'll come out of the grave, and it'll meet the people that's on the earth that are still alive, the Christians, that are still in the body, and they'll all be raised up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the bodies are going to come out. They're going to go back and join. And I don't know how that's going to happen, but that's what it says. But it's going to be great, isn't it? It's going to be wonderful. What's amazing is that we have a God that's able to do all that. And that whenever we leave our bodies, and we go to be with the Lord, we're going to have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. We're going to be able, we won't be thinking all them ugly thoughts and all that. Just that alone is going to be amazing. To be able to get through a whole day without thinking anything wicked or without any temptations coming to our mind. Isn't that going to be wonderful? I can't wait for that. That's what drives everybody nuts in this day and age. 2022, there's been so much garbage on that television, so much garbage out in society, right in front, flaunting itself right in front of your face. It's amazing that people aren't going nuts and have to be on 14 prescriptions. I knew a man when I was up there in, I think the most I've ever seen, a fellow that was on prescription medication whenever we had that men's ministry up in Pennsylvania. I think the most I ever had to pass out was 16 pills a day to this guy. They had him on, no, not 16, it was 32. It was 16 per. He took like 12 in the morning, 12 at noon, and some it added up to 32 pills. 32 pills. I don't think there's any pharmacy up there in glory. I don't think we're going to need one. There won't be no such thing. We're going to have the mind of Christ, and it's going to be wonderful. We won't be able to think bad thoughts. But the bodies are going to meet. If you're already departed, you're going to be with Christ, and you're going to return with Him. You're going to come and going to meet everybody that's on the earth and the bodies, and everybody's going to join up, get their new bodies, and we're going to go back to glory for the next 7 years and go up there and have the marriage supper of the Lamb and the judgment seat of Christ. And then we're going to put on the battle garments and get ready to come down here when the Lord comes to make war. To make war, the Bible says. All right, that's not all. Okay, so will we know one another in heaven? The answer, I think, is yes. But if we don't, all we have to do is shake hands and say, "Hey, I'm Brother Thurman. Who are you?" and then sing glory to our Lord. Well, you know, can you imagine what it's going to be like when you look at your Savior the first time? I could imagine getting to heaven, departing from your body, and you show up there, however it is, the angels bring you or whatever. It doesn't matter. But we get there, and then whether you walk through a door, whether you go through a tunnel, whatever it is, who cares? But when you get there and you're standing there and you're just looking around, and then all of a sudden this big crowd of people, of all the people that are in heaven, they start backing up. and making kind of an aisle in front of you, opening up. And then you look down there, and some fella turns around, and you recognize him, and you know him, and his name is Jesus. The first time you get to see your Savior. Ooh-wee! It's going to be amazing, isn't it? To be able to put your eyes. The Bible says we behold him through a glass now. We can't see him now. We walk by faith, not by sight. We see him through the scriptures and through the witness of God the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ dwells in us. We know him by his Spirit that dwells in us, and we know him by the scriptures, the Word. He is the Word. Now, there's some truth to get into right there and do a little studying on. Jesus Christ was the Word of God before he became Jesus Christ. The man is named Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God in the flesh, was named Jesus. Jesus, before his birth, was the Word of God. Interesting stuff. Beautiful stuff. All right, that's not all. In heaven, we will all have glorified bodies. What else? What will this glorified body look like? What's the Bible say? You're saying, well, any change will do. That's what I say anyway, you know. But it's going to be better than that, brothers and sisters. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. There ain't nothing about your body that the Lord can't change and can't make glorified and glorify. The Lord's going to glorify all of our bodies and give them back to us. And give them back to us. We're going to be raised in a glorified body. It's going to be raised glorified. So, what's our glorified body going to look like? It's going to look just fine is what it's going to look like. It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be something that you can wear for eternity. It says that the Lord is going to fashion it like unto his glorious body. And when you fashion something, you fashion it like making something with your hands, like the Lord did in the garden. He took the dust and made a man and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And then with the Lord's hands, he cut open, I don't know where he did it, with a laser or whatever he done. Probably it just run his finger down Adam's side there and took a rib out of him and made Eve and fashioned Eve out of that rib. Can you imagine? Our God can do that stuff. What will this glorified body look like? Well, it's going to look like Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. It's going to look like his glorious body. It's going to look like his glorious body. Now, what that means and what that entails, I don't know, but it's going to be glorious. That's a good word to remember. It's going to be glorified and glorious and likened to his glorious body. I don't think we're going to have one complaint about it, do you? John chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. The disciples saw him in his glorified body, and it didn't scare them. What they were scared about, they were scared for a little while whenever they were trying to figure out that whether he was a ghost or a spirit or something like that, and the Lord told them, look, I'm in a body. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. In John 20:27, he said, "Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And of course, Thomas didn't do that. He said he would do it before he would believe, but as soon as he seen the Lord with his own eyes, he said, "My Lord and my God." And then the Lord said, "Thomas, because you have seen, you believe." He said, "Blessed are those that have not seen and believe." That's you. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." The Lord showed himself to lots of people, 500 at once. All the apostles, lots of the women. For 40 days after his resurrection, he was still here on earth before he ascended and went back to the Father, where he is at this present moment. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, what we're talking about is a glorified body. You say we're going to have one fashion like unto him. Well, that's what we're talking about, is everybody that's seen Jesus' glorified body. He was able to be there with them and walk and talk with them in that body. He was able to eat in front of them. He ate in front of them. Here's another one in John chapter 20, verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you." The doors were shut. And he just came and stood in the midst. So, according to the Bible, if our bodies are fashioned like unto his body, they're able to go through solid objects. You say that's crazy. No, it ain't. Nothing about God's word crazy. That's what it says. I believe it. Luke chapter 24, verse 31 says, "And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." If we have bodies like unto his glorious body, we're going to be able to vanish. So we're going to have bodies that can appear and disappear, that can go through objects without having to open a door. I think the reason we've got to open the door now is because of this sinful body that we have on, this corrupt body. I don't know. But I know them scientists, that they read, and when they read the scriptures, they can't do nothing with that, can they? They drive them all nuts. All right, that's not all. Let's read another one. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. It says, "And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands," so your new body's going to have hands, "and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me." So the new body is going to be able to be touchable. "And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." So Jesus' new resurrected body had flesh and it had bones. "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them." So we're going to be able to eat with our new bodies. Yahoo! Was Jesus' body physically restricted? No, it wasn't. What's the proof? Well, the scripture we just read said he appeared and he disappeared and he walked through closed doors or came through closed doors and appeared in the midst of them. Was Jesus able to communicate? Yes, he was. Proof? Well, he stood there and spoke to them and talked to them and challenged them to touch him and to thrust their hand in his side. Was Jesus touchable? Yes, he was. I don't know whether any of them touched him. I'm sure they did. They loved him. It was their Savior. It's our Savior. I mean, think how you would feel standing there after watching your Lord be tortured and stripped, flesh stripped off of him, and what he looked like when they took him off that cross. And now he's in a glorified body. And they're looking at him, and they see the scars in his hand and on his feet, but they're saying, man. But I'm sure, you know, that they couldn't keep their hands off of him after it was over with. I'm sure they couldn't. It must have been hard to say goodbye to him when he ascended, you know. But he promised he'd come again. And he made that promise to us. Was he recognizable? Yes, he was. The proof? Well, the proof would have been Thomas, wouldn't it? All of them, as a matter of fact, but Thomas especially, because whenever all the other ones told Thomas that they seen the Lord, he said, I ain't going to believe that. He said, I ain't going to believe it until I can thrust my hand into his side and put my finger in the print of his hand where the nail was. And then when Jesus showed up, he said, come on over here and do what you said. Thrust your hand in my side. Put your fingers in here. And he just fell to, he just fell to his knees and worshiped the Lord right there. He didn't even bother to do it. He was recognizable. So our bodies are going to be recognizable. That's another little truth there about whether or not we're going to know one another in heaven, isn't it? He wasn't physically restricted. Was Jesus able to eat in that new body? It says he was. That's what our Bible says. It says Jesus could eat in that new body and says we're going to have bodies fashioned like unto his glorious body. We're going to sit down and eat at a marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Don't you know that's going to be delicious? And it ain't going to have to worry about that new body not one bit. I'm going to taste everything. All right, here we go. We're still talking about this. Will we know one another in heaven? Well, according to the Bible, I think it's leaning toward telling us, yes, we're going to know one another, but it doesn't say, thou shalt know one another. But it gives us a lot of evidence that we will, doesn't it? Luke chapter 24. Let's read that. Luke chapter 24. Well, I just got through reading it, didn't I? Yeah, I did. The Lord told him to handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. One thing I want to ask you right there was, when the Lord said that, what did the Lord say that his flesh and bones was made, that his body was made of? It was made of flesh and bone. Now, we know what flesh and bone is. The Lord Jesus Christ said his body was made of flesh and bone. Okay, did the Lord mention any blood? No, he didn't. Well, why not? Well, 1 Corinthians, let's read that. 1 Corinthians 15:50, the Bible says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So when you get the new body, it's not going to have blood. Because blood, our blood, is tainted, it's cursed. You can't take that blood. The Bible says right there, beloved, he said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but flesh and bone can in a glorified state. That's interesting, isn't it? They say that Adam didn't have no blood. The Bible doesn't say Adam did not have no blood. But when you study and you rightly divide the scriptures, you find out that something happened to man's blood when he fell. At the fall, something happened to man's blood. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the Lord said that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Something has to die. And how does it die? You shed its blood. Why? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Did Jesus have blood? No. Was he ever going to die again? No. Never to die again, the Bible says. Eternal life. Are you getting that? Eternal life. You're never, ever, ever going to have to think about death again. But the death that we think about now is not the death that the world projects. Not for the Christian. For a Christian to die is to depart from your body. Your body goes back to the dust until the Lord resurrects it and fashions it like unto his glorious body. That's what the Bible says. And that's what I believe, don't you? Why would we believe anything else? There's no other book on this planet that gives you good news like that. I just for the sake of what we've been studying today, you'd think everybody on this planet would get saved, don't you? That's what everybody's looking for. How am I going to stay alive? Well, the Lord just told you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Lord has done some wonderful things for us. So, talking about our study today, will we know one another in heaven? Talking about Zion, your eternal home, will we know one another? I believe we will. I believe we will. And I believe if we don't, we will as soon as we shake hands with them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, Beloved, now, right this very minute, this very second, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful stuff. Wonderful promises. Why would anybody seek any other way or any other life or any other ideas or imaginations or blabbity, blabbity? Why would you want to go to purgatory? Why? When you can have your sins forgiven completely right now and be a son of God right now and go to heaven when you depart from your body and have the promise written. We got documents that are written right in front of us from God's inspiration. He inspired these words. They're living words from the Lord. And he makes these promises to us. And from what we've read today, I wouldn't want to change not one word of it, would you? Not me. I want my promise just exactly like the Lord laid it out right there. And it's perfect. Is there any confusion in anything we've studied about will we know one another in heaven? No. Did the Bible tell us that we're going to know one another in heaven? It didn't say it verbatim. But did it show us examples of whether we're going to recognize one another and how our bodies are going to be and what kind of body we're going to get and a little bit about it? Yeah. He can surprise us with the rest, right? Amen. Amen. Praise God for the truth. Praise the Lord for the truth. Aren't you glad we got the truth? Don't ever let anybody talk you out of your Bible. And when I say Bible, I'm talking about the authorized version. Get you an authorized version and study the Scriptures, and God the Holy Ghost will nail it down for you and show you what's really going on. He will. He will. He will. He did with me. I went through all that garbage and people trying to take my Bible away from me, and for the Lord preserved it, and He kept it for me and kept me with it, and I'm glad He did, and I thank Him for it. Praise the Lord. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these Scriptures before I forget. You ready? Acts chapter 7, verse 55 through 60. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through 5. Luke chapter 16, verse 23 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 through 53. Then we had Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. John chapter 20, verse 20. John chapter 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. John chapter 20, verse 19. Luke chapter 24, verse 31. And then Luke chapter 24 also, verse 36 through 43. And then Luke chapter 24, verse 38 and 39. That's just to keep you busy, keep you alive. Okay? I know you're asking questions and wondering whether or not I'm taking my pills today or whatever. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. That's all of them. That's all of them for this lesson. Okay, well, we're going to go right back into our study on the next one. I hope you'll be here, and I'm sure you will. This is just fun, isn't it? What a blessing is for the brethren to dwell in unity, and that's what we do when we get around God's Word, and we all sit here and listen to the truth, and we all listen. Every one of us are thinking the same thing about our bodies. We're believing the same thing. We are hoping for the same thing. We have all the same God, all the same resurrected Son of God. All of it's the same. Nobody's got any different ideas because we all read God's Word and understood it, and it was clear to us. You see? And God's Word is clear to those that believe it. But when you come to the Lord manipulating the Bible and trying to find out something to point the finger at the Lord and say, aha, the Lord will make a fool out of you. That Bible will make a fool out of you for doing that. That Bible's alive. It lives. It liveth and abideth forever. You say, how's a book live? That book has down through history made more things happen than you could ever imagine. All down through history, just by reading it. The name of Jesus has so much power in it. And I'll tell you, next time you're down at the mall or something like that, or you're standing in a crowd somewhere, just stand still and not at the top of your voice, but over everybody else and all the noise, say, Jesus Christ. And watch everybody around you come to a standstill. Just by saying His name. And don't say nothing else. Just say His name and watch what happens. It'll turn every head around you. Yep. So will the Word of God. So will the Word of God. Next thing we're going to talk about is, what is heaven like? What is heaven like? Now, we're getting into the part of heaven. This is the name of our study that we're doing in Zion, your heavenly home. Now, what is heaven like? Well, we're going to talk about that on the next recording, okay? You be sure to be here. And I can't thank you enough for honoring the Lord. It gives me joy when others honor the Lord, and it does you too, doesn't it? praise the Lord for His wonderful word. I know this is not, I don't know how to say it. I'm not the best spoken person in the world, but I sure like it. And I love the Lord and I love His word. And we enjoy our fellowship, don't we? This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for studying today. Be sure to read over those scriptures and I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.